This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Believer in Christ, have you been praying for divine intervention or God's help in real, overwhelming needs in your life? Have you asked Jesus to immerse and envelop you in the power of the Holy Spirit? The same power that He operated in to heal the sick, cleanse lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead, and perform mighty miracles is available to you today through the same baptism in the Spirit that He Himself received. The next few minutes can revolutionize your life as you learn how to be clothed with power from on high. Welcome to the Real Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Lambert. In an hour when deception and apostasy is rampant on earth, the need for proclaiming the real truth has never been more desperate. Jesus prophesied, "An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Proclaiming the real truth of the written and Rhema prophetic word of God that He is revealing in this hour is our goal, effecting real change in the hearts and minds of believers in Christ in order to fulfill the purposes and plans of God is our purpose. Friends, throughout this teaching series, I am leading you on a journey to discover the real truth about a matter second in importance to none except salvation itself, which is the matter of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Each segment of teaching is one vital link in that journey, which leads ultimately to the real truth concerning the role of the third member of the Godhead in your life, whom Jesus Himself called the Helper, that is, the blessed Holy Spirit, the living waters of God. God says in Hosea 4:6 that His people, that means born-again believers, Christians, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ignorance or lack of knowledge concerning spiritual matters not only is not bliss, but it is an open gateway to devastation and destruction. Jesus taught that the knowledge of the truth sets free, which inherently means that what you do not know of the truth will keep you in bondage. The unfortunate truth is that many born-again believers are being held captive by lack of knowledge of the truth and deceptions concerning this critical matter of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, some of the main points I am going to be establishing and providing scriptural support for during the course of this teaching are that, 1. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate and distinct or adjunctive experience to the infusion of the Holy Spirit that takes place at the moment of salvation. 2. Regeneration by the Spirit, that is, salvation, the new birth, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit are two distinct and separate workings of the same Holy Spirit. In salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live within the believer, imparting the fruit of the Spirit. That is the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. In the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the believer is enveloped by, or immersed in, the Holy Spirit. That is to say, the Holy Spirit comes upon the believer, in contrast to in the believer, and imparts the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These facts are clearly supported by Scripture and are exemplified by the experience of Jesus Himself, who is our supreme model. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus explicitly stated that the baptism in the Holy Spirit will be given to any believer who simply asks Him for it. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift of grace received by faith and often imparted through the laying on of hands by other anointed believers.
The first outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, in this section, we are continuing to establish from Scripture the fact that the baptism in the Holy Spirit that was poured out for the first time on the day of Pentecost was a second experience for the early disciples, separate and distinct from what took place on Resurrection Sunday evening, when Jesus came into the locked room where they had gathered, and He appeared unto them, and the first words that He said to them were, "Peace be unto you." For He had established peace between God and man. And then He breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." That moment was the first dispensing of the Holy Spirit in salvation after Jesus completed His priestly mission in heaven, thereby providing salvation for the first time. It was at this point that the disciples were saved and experienced the rebirth. Again, I am going to prove conclusively from Scripture that that experience was separate and distinct from what took place on the day of Pentecost, many days hence. In Luke 24, verses 44 through 49, it says, "Now He," Jesus, "said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets in the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" He was talking about what He had told them would take place during His period of suffering, and it did indeed take place just as the Scripture had predicted, and as He had told them it would. Continuing on, it says, "Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And He said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" Now, it is absolutely essential that as you read, you see that this entire event took place after Resurrection Sunday, after Jesus had appeared to them in the upper room and breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And they received the Holy Spirit in regeneration and were saved for the first time at that moment. It was after that event that Jesus appeared to them and had this conversation with them. And even though now they were already born again of the Spirit, they had already received the Holy Spirit in regeneration, now He told them to wait for the promise of the Father,
to wait in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. Now notice the distinction there. He was not talking about receiving something on the inside of them as they had done when they received the Holy Spirit in regeneration on resurrection evening, but now he is talking about something that would come upon them. For he said, I am sending forth the promise of the Father upon you. And then he reinforces that it is an outward upon experience because he said, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Clothing is something we wear on the outside. We don't wear clothing on the inside. Clothing is worn on the outside. And so he was speaking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit that would take place not many days from then. And this, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, he called the promise of the Father. So it is clear that the promise of the Father was not referring to the working of the Holy Spirit in regeneration or salvation, wherein the Holy Spirit came to take up residence within the human spirit. But rather, he was talking about the power of God coming upon those already saved believers and clothing them with power from on high. Now, the writer of that gospel, wherein that dissertation in which Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Father took place, was Luke. Luke was also the writer of the book of Acts. And in his second book, Luke recounts again the last dissertation of Jesus prior to his ascension. We read that in Acts 1:1-8. There, Luke writes, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all the things Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. So he is saying here that the first account, what became known as the Gospel of Luke, was all about what Jesus began to do and teach until he was taken up into heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Implicit in what Luke says is the fact that this second account, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, is about what took place after that Jesus was taken up into heaven. However, he begins that book by recounting again the last dissertation of Jesus prior to his ascension. And he says in verse 4, and gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. In this account, Luke adds some crucial details that did not appear in his synoptic book, the Gospel of Luke. In verses 4 and 5, he includes Jesus' interpretation of the phrase, the promise of the Father, he invoked in Luke's first account, saying that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then he goes on to say, and so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Jesus here is clearly and explicitly defining the promise of the Father as being the baptism in the Holy Spirit, not salvation, as some teachers purport. In verse 8, Jesus explains that the effect of the baptism in the Holy Spirit will be that the disciples would receive supernatural power to bear witness of the resurrected Christ, in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit that born-again believers receive in regeneration of the Spirit. Enjoying this podcast? Please take a minute to pray if the Lord would have you to help us with the substantial financial burden of this program. We receive no grants or funding from any organization or government agency, and no other means of support than the gracious and generous giving of our listeners. SLM Inc. bears the entire burden. In about 30 seconds, you can donate at paypal.me/SLM Inc. Again, that's paypal.me/SLMINC to give any amount. Thank you for your gifts, generosity, and graciousness. An adjunctive experience. Now, the truth I'm going to establish from Scripture in this section is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an adjunctive, that is, something that is associated with, but yet separate and distinct from, the experience of regeneration or salvation. To establish that point, I want to talk to you about what happened on Resurrection Sunday, aka Easter evening. In the Christian church, many celebrate what took place on Resurrection morning, and certainly that glorious fact and event needs to be celebrated and is worthy of great celebration, because it is at that time that the disciples found that the tomb was empty, though that should not really have been a surprise, since Jesus prophesied he would rise again on the third day. However, what took place between that morning and that evening, culminating in the upper room, is also of vital importance, and something that we have very little understanding and teaching about in the Christian church at large. In John 20:19 through 23, the story reads, "So when it was evening on that day," this is talking about Resurrection Sunday night, "the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and said to them, 'Peace be with you. Peace be with you.'" These were the opening remarks that Jesus made after having ascended into heaven as the high priest. Time and space will not allow us to go into all the detail of that, of what took place during the day after Mary had her encounter with Jesus, in which she attempted to embrace him, but Jesus stopped her and said, "Touch me not, woman, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father." He was speaking about the fact that he was about to ascend into heaven as our spiritual high priest, and, as it was written, a priest serving in the role of high priest after he had been purified through the purification rites God had prescribed, in order not to defile himself, must avoid all human contact, that is, the touching or being touched by any human, but especially a woman. For while he had ascended from the regions of hell by means of the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit that would later come upon them and thereby quicken their mortal bodies, he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," and that was the first time that anyone was ever born again. These 120 disciples who were gathered together in the upper room were born again at that point. They received of the regenerative working of the Holy Spirit at that moment in the manner that we today receive of that regenerative working of the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Jesus comes to live in our hearts. Our sins are forgiven, thereby reconciling us with God, and we become alive with the life of the Holy Spirit as he takes up residence within our human spirit. But then, what we are going to see next is how the same believers who are now spiritually alive in their human spirit through the workings of the regenerative power of God, infused with the life of God in their human spirit, had a second, an adjunctive, a separate and distinct, another experience with the Holy Spirit some days afterward, in which they received not the life of God, but they were imbued with power from on high, which Jesus defined as the promise of the Father. Friends, I hope you understand how vital this teaching is you are hearing. the real truth regarding the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This issue is the most critical issue to the Christian life after salvation itself. It is for that reason that our adversary, the devil, has continued to do all he can to hinder and, if possible, preclude believers from receiving it. Since that fateful day when Jesus himself, the heavenly prototype of the sons of God, was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, as a visible sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was first poured out upon the church, imbuing them with power from on high. In the 2,000 years plus that have transpired since, no other single issue has been more controversial, fiercely debated, and bitterly divisive in the annals of church history. And that should not be surprising at all, because the last thing on earth that Satan wants people to know is the real truth regarding the inexhaustible and uncontainable supernatural power that is made available to every believer who receives of this same immersion in the Spirit. It is the same baptism that John, the original Baptist, declared he needed to receive from Jesus. It is the same baptism with which Jesus himself, as the prototype of the sons of God and our ultimate model in all spiritual things, himself received, which elicited the divine vocal response from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Friends of God, if you have even the slightest desire to be well pleasing to God, there is no other way to achieve that place of standing with our Heavenly Father than following in the path laid by the heavenly model, who came to earth as a man to show us the way to fellowship and favor with the Father, and likewise receive of this indescribable gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That same outpouring of the Spirit is still flowing yet today, and it is available to every believer who understands that if Jesus himself needed the empowerment that came upon him through the baptism in the Holy Spirit to begin his ministry and perform the works of power he demonstrated, then certainly they must also have that empowerment in their own life if they are going to fulfill Jesus's prophecy that believers would do the works that he did and even greater works than he did. It's available to you today, friend, but you must take a step of faith and follow in the footsteps of the original Baptist and tell Jesus you recognize that he is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit and fire, and ask him to baptize or totally immerse you in the living waters of the Spirit of God. He will do it, but he testified that you must ask Him for the Holy Spirit's baptism. Now, if you want that baptism in the Holy Spirit I've been talking about and would like to know more about it and how to receive it, I've written a book and even recorded an audio book of the book that will help you with that. The book title is Dunamis, Power from On High. Dunamis, Power from On High. Now, this concise book explains what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is, the scriptural precedent and proofs regarding it, how to sort out the real truth from all the diverse teaching that exists concerning it based on Scripture, and it provides some simple explanation for receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And if you have not done so yet, I want you to have this special book and or audio book I've prepared for you to help you understand it and to receive this powerful working of the Holy Spirit in your life. So I am making the book itself available to you for a donation to the Real Truth Radio program or podcast of any amount. For those of you who can, please make a donation of at least $20 to cover both the publication cost of the book as well as the shipping and handling. And if you can, send more to help us to send the book to someone else who cannot send a donation. However, for those of you who cannot make a donation of $20 or more, we will send you the book for a donation of any amount. So again, you may request the book separately for a donation of any amount. And if you can, please send a gift of at least $20 if you are able to do so. Now, if you would also like the 8-disc set audiobook to go along with the book, please send a donation of $50 or more to cover shipping and handling for both products and the products themselves. Again, that's a donation of $50 or more to cover shipping and handling for both the book and the 8-CD set audiobook. You can also order the book and audiobook online on our website at realtruthradio.com. Again, go to realtruthradio.com. Now, you can also order the book and or audiobook online via email with an online donation at paypal.me/SLM Inc. Now, don't delay. Send for your copy of the book and or the audiobook today. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Real Truth. I'm Stephen Lambert. Please subscribe to the podcast, share with your friends, and visit realtruthradio.com to join our mailing list. Be sure to tune in to the next edition of The Real Truth. Until then, this is Stephen Lambert reminding you that with God, all things are possible, and all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose.
Godfrey Electric Incorporated is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving Martin, St. Lucie, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric Incorporated specializes in industrial,